The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
In the shadows of mystical forests, beneath the surface of murky lakes, and even in our own backyards, there continue to be reports of unidentifiable creatures from all around the world. Stories of cryptids have been passed down for centuries. They often have similar physical descriptions, despite being from other sides of the globe. Are these simply myths passed down through generations, or are they fragments of truth waiting to be uncovered? And while there's hundreds of cryptids out there, today we are talking about just two. First, I'm going to take you deep into the forests of central Vermont, chasing one of New England's most enduring and genuinely unsettling pieces of folklore. Then we'll head to the flat and wide open spaces of central Kansas, specifically to a body of water just outside Inman, known officially as the Big Sinkhole. Today's perplexing episode is all about the Northfield Pig Man and Sinkhole Sam. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode all about the Northfield Pigman and Sinkhole Sam, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you are a returning listener, hello, my friends. Welcome back. I'm happy you're here today. If you are listening on Spotify, you can now see me. We are trying out Spotify video for the foreseeable future. It just seems to be where things are going, and I've already been doing the YouTube videos for forever. So let me know what you guys think. And I'm excited to be trying out this new format for you guys. I am covering this episode because I got a request from one of my listeners, Callie. Callie loves all things cryptids, and so I thought this would be a fun one to do. And also, I am supposed to be going to the North American Cryptid Museum here in just a couple of weeks. And when I was doing some research, apparently, allegedly, I don't know for sure, we'll see, the Pigman of Vermont and Sinkhole Sam are supposed to be featured in the North American Cryptids Museum, according to what I could read on the internet. And I hadn't heard of these guys. There were so many other cryptids that are going to be there that I know the lore. I didn't know these. So naturally, I wanted to learn more. And patrons, you guys are going to have to be on the lookout for a recap or a vlog of my time at the North American Cryptid Museum. I'm going on July, I think it's 18th, with my sister, my brother-in-law, my boyfriend. So I'm super excited. It should be really, really fun. But with all of that out of the way, let's get into these stories because these are some really interesting cryptids. So I want you to imagine it's late October. Way back in 1951, you're in this tiny, tiny town, Northfield, Vermont. This is a tiny, cozy place tucked between the Green Mountains. It's the kind of place where everybody knows everybody. There's a 17-year-old local named Sam Harris. Sam grabs a basket of eggs and he heads out the door for the night. His parents don't think much of it because it's Picket Night, also known as Mischief Night or Hallows Eve. Kids egg houses, they bang on doors. It's the kind of low-stakes trouble that teenagers have been causing forever. I was known to egg and TP some houses back in my day, but Sam Harris would never come home. When Sam's parents woke up on Halloween morning and found his bed empty, they raised the alarm. Hundreds of locals spread out and searched, covering hundreds of square miles of the steep hills and dense forest. The town of Northfield was searching long and hard for Sam Harris. They looked for weeks and weeks, but they found nothing, not even a trace. Not a single clue about what happened on that cold October night. And disappearances didn't happen in Northfield, let alone without any explanation. Sam Harris's vanishing left a complete void in Northfield. For those of you who study folklore, you know communities don't handle voids very well. They tend to try to make sense of them, create new stories. And it seems like that's exactly what happened. In the months and years that followed Sam's disappearance, stories started to circulate. The rumors were quiet at first, with suggestions around kitchen tables and the backs of diners. But then people started getting louder. And the answer the town landed on was something far stranger and more frightening than the possibility of Sam running away. There are several stories for what became of Sam Harris, and I want to talk you through each of them. Theory 1, the satanic transformation. In this theory, Sam wandered into the woods that Hallows Eve and stumbled upon something he was not supposed to see. A ritual? A dark ceremony? Something that cracked him open and let something else sink in. Sam Harris did not die. He became something else, possessed by something demonic, feral, and monstrous. The boy who left that house with a basket of eggs was never coming back. Theory 2, Sam as a victim. In this telling, Sam was taken by someone. No theory references the Bennington Triangle, but I also wanted to bring this up under this theory because right around this time and in this same area were the Bennington Triangle disappearances. The Bennington Triangle is a conjectural region in southwestern Vermont, centered around the Glastonbury Mountain and the Green Mountains. There are endless stories of paranormal activity here, and between the years of 1945 and 1950, there were 5 high-profile unsolved disappearances. Just 1 year later, in this same area, 17-year-old Sam Harris would vanish. Could these disappearances have any link to Sam? Some say Sam encountered a serial killer. Others say he was being stalked by a creature that lived in those hills long before 1951. Which brings us to Theory 3, the cryptid angle. A creature known as the Pigman that lived in the forests around Northfield for far longer than anyone can remember, hunting residents and tourists. The Northfield Pigman is described as a humanoid creature, half man, half pig. The story goes that many, many decades ago, a Northfield man who worked as a butcher suffered a catastrophic injury while working. The accident left his face severely disfigured. He no longer appeared human. He was cast out of society and retreated into the forest. But the forest changed him, made him feral. He went mad, and the man who had once been a butcher became a hunter. Each origin story of the Pigman seems to tap into different human fears. The satanic transformation could be seen as a cautionary tale for children to not venture out alone at night. The victim theory is every parent's worst nightmare, and it speaks to a local monster trusted by everyone, hiding in plain sight. The cryptid angle satisfies that part of us that wants the world to feel bigger and stranger than we've been told. And the disfigured butcher story argues that society's cruelty is what created him. And it mimics legends from other parts of the U.S., including ones I've covered on this podcast, like the infamous legend of the Goatman. But for years, the Pigman was nothing more than local urban legend. 2 entire decades would go by with no answers for Sam Harris's disappearance. But all of that seemed to change around the year of 1971. On the night of the high school dance, a group of teenagers slipped away to drink behind the school. While they were laughing and passing a bottle around, they saw something strange in the distance, towards the tree line. A figure suddenly emerged from the woods, walking upright on 2 seemingly human legs. But the figure was unclothed and covered in coarse white hair, with the head of a pig. Some of the teenagers later insisted the features were anatomically real. Others said it was wearing something. A hollowed-out pig skull made into a grotesque mask. The teenagers ran back inside, telling their classmates what they had just seen. The story spread quickly, just like they always do in small towns. The story got stranger and stranger with every retelling. But at this time, people would chalk it up to teenagers just playing a prank or making up the sighting for attention. But then, other residents started to come forward. A local farmer claimed that he saw this same pig-like creature moving through his property late one night and going through his garbage. This farmer also had pigs that kept going missing. And these sightings continued around the area for several years. Drivers on rural Northfield roads claimed a white-haired, pig-like creature sprinted out in front of them at an impossible speed. Teenagers were also reporting the creature beating on their cars. They would often be hanging out in an area known as Devil's Washbowl. This is a natural formation of caves and waterfalls. The creature was spotted so often at Devil's Washbowl that the locals started believing the pigman lived inside of these caves. People who dared to venture inside the caves claimed they found bones and cloven hoof prints. Others have theorized at least some of the pigman sightings could actually be sightings of Bigfoot, just your average, gigantic, hairy humanoid creature. One of the details that makes this legend arguably more compelling are the remarkably consistent descriptions. Bipedal, between 6 and 7 feet tall when fully upright, human-like but covered in thick white hair, a face with a broad snout, small, beady eyes, and large ears. Aggressive, territorial, and known to steal livestock. And capable of making a blood-curdling, pig-like squeal. Then there's the fact that this story isn't only told in Vermont. There are other pigman legends, believe it or not, scattered all across the country. So let's take a quick tour. In Denton, Texas, my college town, near Bonnie Bray Bridge, I drove over this bridge so many times and never heard the story, there is a legend of a pigman that dates back to the 1950s as well. Teenagers parking in the secluded farmland of West Denton began coming back with stories of spotting a grotesque figure throwing rocks at their cars with glowing red eyes. Sometimes the creature was accompanied by a herd of aggressive boars. One story from Denton claims the pigman was created after a hunter was attacked by a wild boar. The attack transformed him into something else. Another story traces the legend to a gang called the Cowboy Mafia. The Cowboy Mafia operated in this area in the 60s and 70s. They were allegedly involved in drug smuggling, and they were known to be incredibly violent if they were pushed far enough. The gang had reportedly mutilated a man who had been informing on them. They cut off his nose and carved his face. The gangland sign for a snitch. Someone who had been squealing. The disfigured man then fled into the outskirts of town and went into hiding. He lived under bridges and inside of sheds. He became known as the Pigman of Bonnie Bray. In Angola, New York, there is a road known as Pigman's Road. This road sits above one of the worst railway disasters in American history, the 1867 Angola Horror. On December 18th, just after 3 p.m., a derailed passenger car plunged into a gorge and killed 49 people. The legend of Pigman Road claims a hog butcher once lived off of this road and decorated his property with pig heads on spikes as a warning to trespassers. The butcher was a sick man, and he eventually graduated from hunting pigs to hunting people. Other versions of this Angola legend claim the pigman is actually the spirit of a man who died in the Angola train disaster. People who have visited this road have claimed to see shadow figures and feel like they're being watched. In Hawkinsville, Georgia, there is the Pigman's Bridge. Legends from here say that the pigman stakes pig heads near the bridge as a warning to trespassers, super similar to the Angola story. When the warnings are ignored, it is said the pigman stakes their heads in vengeance. Others say the Pigman is a vengeful ghost of a circus hog trainer who was killed and eaten by his own pigs. West of Millington, Tennessee, the Pigman legend centers on the area near Meeman-Shelby Forest State Park, an old munitions factory from World War II. The factory produced a smokeless powder and employed around 8,000 workers. A worker who had been dumping chemicals into a nearby creek stopped for a smoke break. When he struck a match, the spark ignited chemical residue on his clothing and hands, causing a massive explosion. The explosion left the man severely burned and disfigured. He looked like a pig. The man recovered in a local Memphis hospital, but he was rejected by his wife and family because of his physical appearance. The factory kept him on until it closed in 1946. With nowhere to go, the pig man ended up sleeping under a bridge. Isolated and bitter, he became the subject of local rumors, including that he kidnapped and ate children. Local legend says if you park on the Shake Rag Rogue Bridge under full moonlight, flash your lights three times, and call out, "Pig man, pig man, pig man," he will appear. And finally, venturing overseas, there's the story of the Cannock Chase pig man. I could do an entire episode about Cannock Chase and all the dark history and creatures here. Some researchers attribute the legend of Cannock Chase Pigman to rumors of government experiments there during World War II. It's alleged scientists were attempting to create human-animal hybrids for military use. One day, they produced a powerful and dangerous creature, but it escaped into the surrounding forest. If you're familiar with the Goatman legend and or an OG listener, you might notice this legend is virtually identical to the Goatman legend. You might be wondering, why are there so many people all over the world telling stories about a pig man? Author Jason Roberts traced the possible real-world inspiration back to a historical figure from the sideshow circuit, a real man named Bill Dirks. And this is something I love so much about folklore. These stories can be told in different ways all around the world, and a lot of times they were inspired by something that really happened in history. So Bill Dirks was born in Jasper, Alabama in 1913, with craniofacial abnormalities, including cleft lip and palate, and a rare condition called frontonasal dysplasia. His condition caused his nose to appear split and his eyes to be widely spaced. The sideshow called him the man with two faces and also the pig man. Bill Dirks toured with various circuses beginning at the young age of 14, traveling through the 40s and 50s alongside his wife, Mildred. They became known as the world's weirdest couple. Robert argues that Dirks' very real presence on the American circus circuit may have planted seeds for the various Pigman legends. After all, the legends seemed to start in the 50s while Dirks was traveling. Perhaps someone saw Dirks through a train window, watched him perform, or encountered him at a rest stop. Every legend has a job to do. Ghost stories can keep people out of dangerous places. Monster stories reinforce community boundaries. The Northfield Pigman and what happened to Sam Harris serves as a warning, a cautionary tale. Like all good boogeymen, he enforces the unspoken rules of the community. Don't wander too far into the woods. Don't stay out past dark. Don't venture out on your own. Because danger is out there waiting for you. There's also something deeply interesting about the timing of the original Sam Harris origin story. October 30th, Hallows Eve, when the veil between the living and the dead is thin. And going back to Sam Harris, whether you believe in the supernatural elements to this story or not, a teenager really did go missing from Northfield in 1951. His family really did search those hills for weeks. And whatever happened to him remains a perplexing mystery. Today, Halloween in Northfield, Vermont still carries a specific weight, and every so often, someone still comes back from the woods with an account they can't fully explain. Did they actually see the pigman? Probably not, but I bet they feel the hills. I bet they feel how quickly the forest swallows the light. And I bet they understand, viscerally, that a 17-year-old child with a basket of eggs vanished into the night and never came back out. So that is the story of the Pigman of Northfield and the disappearance of Sam Harris, the long, long shadow that one night in 1951 cast over a small Vermont town for more than 70 years.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Part 2. Sinkhole Sam. Next, I want to tell you about a creature that slithers around Kansas. It's reported to be 15 to 30 feet long, as big around as a car tire, with a fluked tail and a long fin running down its back. This creature has been reported by dozens of locals, including farmers and fishermen. It was even once spotted by an entire parking lot full of people. It's believed Sinkhole Sam lives in a pond the size of a modest backyard on the Kansas Prairie in McPherson County near Inman. Kansas City Magazine once called it the greatest monster legend Kansas has ever known. This is the story of Sinkhole Sam. In order to understand where this story begins, you have to first know something about Kansas water, or the lack of it. Before European colonization, the land we now call Kansas was plentiful. There were a lot of small streams, rivers, ponds, and wetlands. Seasonal floods, underground aquifers, and marshes were tucked all throughout the prairie. But over the course of settlement and agriculture, most of that water got blocked, diverted, or dried up. By the 20th century, Kansas had just a few natural lakes and streams left. This is where the Big Sinkhole of Kansas comes in. The Big Sinkhole is a natural geological feature. It's fed by underground water. And it is said that the sinkhole connects to a network of subterranean caverns and passages that run beneath the Kansas plains. This sinkhole sits on the Pinner family farm, Section 27, a square mile of land the Pinners have worked on since 1874. For most of its history, this land was quiet. This sinkhole was an unremarkable piece of water that nobody thought twice about. This area has a population of just around 500 people as well. It's home to hardworking farmers, tradespeople, shop owners, and close-knit Mennonite communities. It's home to the kind of people who don't invent crazy stories for attention. But beginning in the 1920s, locals began to notice something strange was living in the Big Sinkhole. The story of Sinkhole Sam seems to begin with two fishermen. They had been fishing in these waters for years, but they couldn't explain what they had seen. However, the most well-documented sighting comes from much later, in the summer of 1952. Two young men looked down into that murky Kansas water and saw something they couldn't explain. And Inman was never quite the same. 18-year-old Albert Burt Newfield and another boy, George Reger, were out at the sinkhole fishing on a hot summer day when they encountered an incredibly large creature, somewhere between 15 and 30 feet long. They said the creature was as thick as a car tire, with a fluked tail or a fish-like tail, and a long fin running down its back. Perhaps the most distinct feature of Sinkhole Sam is what has been described as his non-snake-like grin. I don't know what this means. The only thing I can gather is that, like, he looks like a snake in the body, but, like, a snake shouldn't be smiling. That's not normal. And Sinkhole Sam is smiling for some reason. I don't know what he's so happy about, but he has a grin, and I feel like that actually makes it a little bit more eerie. That phrase also shows up in multiple newspapers' multiple accounts. Non-snake-like grin. Regger spotted the creature from a bridge that extended out over part of the sinkhole. He stood there in total shock. As for Newfield, he took action. In a classic Southern fashion, he took out his .22 caliber rifle and fired two shots at the creature. It disappeared beneath the surface. Word spread throughout the area of Newfield and Regger's encounter. And this is a tiny town. There's not a lot going on. So locals started showing up day after day, staring into this big sinkhole, parking their cars and just watching the water. Mill Pinner, who farmed there and later wrote a book about this whole story called Section 27, A Century on a Family Farm, described coming home from church one Sunday afternoon. Mill discovered there were dozens and dozens of cars lined up at the water's edge. Every window was rolled up, and occupants were hoping they might catch a glimpse of the creature. He said they were too scared to roll down their windows. This is what folklore does. I love it. It transforms a perfectly ordinary pond into something extraordinary. By this time, locals had started calling the thing by a name, Sinkhole Sam. The first major press coverage of Sinkhole Sam was a joke, an elaborate, gleeful, thoroughly committed journalistic satire piece. It made Sinkhole Sam famous, though, but no one was really taking the story seriously. The writer was Ernest Alva Dewey, a columnist for the Salina Journal. You could say Dewey was a bit of a stick in the mud. He would likely not be a fan of Perplexity, a Mystery podcast. He had, in a previous column, attributed the recent Kansas UFO sightings to an airborne creature of his own invention called the ball-tailed Snicklehoopus. So he basically just makes up this ridiculous word, and he's calling these UFO enthusiasts stupid. Boo! Boo, Dewey. Dewey traveled to Inman in 1952, and he published his account just before Thanksgiving. In his article, Dewey claimed that he brought a scientific expert along with him, Dr. Erasmus P. Quattlebaum. Kansas City Magazine's Michael Alberti would later note dryly that Quattlebaum's credentials were, quote, as real as Professor Marvel's diploma in The Wizard of Oz. But nevertheless, Dewey claimed Dr. Quattlebaum examined the evidence and delivered his verdict. The creature in the big sinkhole was nothing more than a Foopengurkle, a species of extinct subterranean animal known to live underground in Kansas caverns. The sinkhole was like Sam's above-ground swimming pool, connected to a far more extensive underground domain. Quattlebaum's research indicated that Foopengurkles were, quote, terribly dumb and very vegetarian. Swimmers and fishermen should have nothing to fear. Sam didn't want to eat them. He probably didn't even notice them. He was, by scientific assessment, too stupid to register their presence. The Foopengurkle was also extinct. Sinkhole Sam didn't know this because, according to Dewey, he was too dumb to have received the memo. His whole species died out and he wasn't aware. The word Foopengurkle has also now been listed online as an alternate name for Sinkhole Sam. It seems Dewey's satire piece was this attempt to get people to stop caring about Sinkhole Sam. This is dumb, everybody. Just stop talking about it. But it really had the opposite result. The story was so ridiculous and funny that it only made people more intrigued. Monster hunters started pouring into Section 27, and then the story went national. In 1953, Mary Kay Flynn arrived from the Newspaper Enterprise Association and wrote a story that ran in papers from Oregon to Florida, calling Sinkhole Sam Kansas's very own Loch Ness Monster. Flynn also wrote about more eyewitnesses that had allegedly come forward, describing the same fluked tail, the fin, and the non-snake-like grin, whatever that means. According to Flynn, these were multiple independent witnesses. Going back to the first original sighting, Bert Newfield and George Reger are now both deceased. Reger's daughter, Connie Newcomb, acknowledges her father had a reputation as the town rogue. As for Bert Newfield, his family was embarrassed by the whole thing. Dr. Edward Newfield, Bert's younger brother, who was 16 at the time, confirms this. You see, the Newfield family were humble Mennonites. They were defined by honesty, humility, and they were not the kind of people to sensationalize stories for attention. They didn't go to the press. They didn't try to capitalize on anything. And this was totally out of Bert's character. So the Newfields were struggling with what to make of what Bert saw that day. Bert's son Brian has also said that his father's version of events always ended with him saying something like, the more people who saw Sinkhole Sam, the bigger he would get. Even Bert acknowledged that the story got out of hand. One of the most common theories regarding what those two young men saw in the water that day is misidentification. You hear this a lot in cryptid stories. Travis Taggart, president and executive director of the Center for North American Herpetology, believes the men saw a gopher snake. This is the longest native Kansas snake, reaching about 7.5 feet. Gopher snakes often lurk in the water. This is also, though, much smaller than what the men claimed to have seen. Were they exaggerating, or did the men see something else? Others say Sinkhole Sam could have been an exotic pet release, like a boa constrictor or a python. But Lauren Coleman has a much more fun theory. This is my favorite theory. Coleman is the director of the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine, and the author of approximately 40 books on cryptids. He says Sinkhole Sam reminded him of another cryptid, the Mongolian death worm, referring to the similar snake-like dimensions and proportions. So could something like this also be living in Kansas? Who's to say? What do I know? The Kansas City Magazine article also notes Sinkhole Sam was not the first strange sea creature to be reported in the area. Reports from 1912 and 1913 described bathers in Lake Inman, just a few miles from the big sinkhole. They were very frightened and fled the area after seeing a large turtle-like creature that they said was the size of a claw-footed bathtub. 50 miles south in Kingman, Kansas, there's also the story of the Kingman serpent. Some people believe this could also be Sinkhole Sam. He's a big guy. He travels around. And if these caverns are allegedly connected to each other, it could explain how he traveled all the way to Kingman. Other people think this is a totally separate legend. But there were multiple accounts of this Kingman serpent. Witnesses claimed the creature was so strong and so large, not even a tractor could run over it. Estimates in size ranged from 10 to 20 feet long, and it was as thick as a human torso. One farmer that saw the creature described it as being like a giant snake that was dirty brown in color with shiny skin. Additionally, other creatures, including Mothman, Bigfoot, and a mysterious figure in a trench coat, have been reported around the Kingman State Lake over the years. Raymond Dunbar was one of the first to spot the serpent sometime around 1963. He would see the creature several more times. Another farmer, Bill Milford, was chasing cattle on horseback when the creature tripped his horse. Rude. An unnamed truck driver said that he spotted it slithering across the road and slammed on his brakes to let the creature pass because it was so large he feared it would damage his truck. Another story often attributed to the Kingman serpent is a story that claims this creature killed a calf and dragged it into a swamp. In 1969, locals organized a hunting party after spotting a mysterious animal approximately 20 feet long that dragged calves into Kingman State Lake. The hunt was led by Kingman dentist Dr. N.E. Allison on August 10th. Over 750 people are said to have showed up for this hunt. I feel like that would have had to have been all of Kingman and all of the nearby towns, and probably even some people from Inman. There were both professional and amateur snake hunters there. There were people on horseback, and even two planes were searching the area for this serpent. But they found nothing. Dr. Allison led a second investigation in 1970, but again, nothing was found. It seems the creature stopped being spotted around this time as well. Some people believe the Kingman serpent could have been Sinkhole Sam, or maybe it was a Burmese python, a boa constrictor, or an anaconda. But one thing is certain. Something perplexing was traveling through the bodies of water in Kansas. We'll likely never know what Bert Newfield and George Reger saw in the big sinkhole in 1952. But I like to believe, at the very least, that something was there. Something that left a lasting impression on two steady, unshowy men who had very little to gain from this story, and by their family's accounts, certainly had an amount to lose. C.L. Keating, a researcher at Fort Hays State University who has studied Kansas cryptids, has also visited the big sinkhole twice. When Keating visited, the sinkhole showed almost no signs of human activity. No trash, no lost fishing gear, just the occasional boot print in the mud. On his most recent visit, he found the sinkhole was dried up and there were hardly any fish in it. At this time, the sinkhole was only 4 or 5 feet deep. He wrote that seeing it dried up made it hard to imagine a monster ever living there. But Sinkhole Sam's legend seems to live on. He is considered essentially the Kansas cryptid. The story persists that Kansas plains are not empty, and that the big sinkhole, at least at one time, once held something. Maybe a large gopher snake, maybe an exotic escapee, maybe something prehistoric. Or maybe just the reflection of a summer sky and two young men who saw in the big sinkhole's surface the possibility that the world was larger and stranger than anyone told them. And that, everybody, is today's perplexing episode all about the stories of the Northfield Pigman and Sinkhole Sam, Kansas's very own Loch Ness Monster.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I think this is a good palate cleanser. We've been doing a lot of very important stories recently, but also heavier. And I always like when I get to talk about a cryptid. It's been a while since we've done a cryptid episode. So if you enjoyed it, let me know. Interact in any way you can. It really helps so much. Share this story. Share this episode with a cryptid lover in your life. And if you haven't done so yet, please leave a 5-star review wherever you can. You can write one on Apple, and that really, really helps. You can hit the 5-star button on Spotify, hit the follow button, turn on those notifications, subscribe on YouTube. It helps a lot. If you want to support the show further, you can always join the Perplexed Society. That's patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. The lowest tier starts with early and ad-free episodes. There's even some bonus content on there, like my side stories with guests. It's a whole community. You're going to get stickers, all kinds of stuff. And tier two starts at just $5 a month, and you get tons of bonus content. So tons of stuff is over there if that interests you. Otherwise, you all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe. Don't fall into a sinkhole. And I will talk to you next week. Bye. Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast, is hosted, written, and produced by me, Kadra Brannon. The show is proud to be a part of the Black Cat Network. Editing is by myself and Charlie Leopold. Theme song by Patrick Thompson. If you want ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content, you can always join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. If you have a topic request or a listener story, you can always submit those to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Business inquiries can be sent via email. Additional support links along with merch can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.